Hello.
Hello.
Have you guessed who I am? You don't know my name, though? Ty Hoffman, yes. Ty Hoffman, and hopefully I'll know your name soon. That's the hardest part of being an instructor. First of all, does anyone want any more light? Okay. Second, where are my waitlisters? No one here is on the wait list? Another way of, backward way of saying that is everyone here registered for this course? Okay, I haven't even mentioned what course it is, so in case you're wondering whether you're in the wrong place, this is Bio 181. And I guess it's good that everyone is registered and there's no problems getting everyone in. Maybe there is. The first day is always my least favorite. First of all, we don't know each other. Everyone's kind of uncomfortable. You don't know what the hell to expect from me. And also, it's not a normal day because I don't just start lecturing about biology. I talk about the course. And here's where it often seems, from students' point of view, that I'm being discouraging about with what I'm about to say. I don't intend this to be discouraging at all, but I don't want to lie to you. I really want you to believe what I'm about to tell you about this course, because I've taught it a hell of a lot of times. You've taken it zero times, probably, most of you. Maybe some of you have taken it already. So believe me that I know what goes on in this course each term. And it is kind of a bitch of a course. Now, it's a really important course, and it can be a really enjoyable course. But neither of those things means that it's easy or that it's going to be easy to get through, especially with the grade you might be aiming for, which I assume is an A for all of you. It's such a demanding course that about half of the students don't get through it the first try, which means we have a nice full classroom today. It's going to be about half of you by the time the finals week comes around. That's not because of me, actually. That happens in all sections of Bio 181. It's not that it is information that's impossible to understand. That's not the problem. There's two problems. One is that there's a hell of a lot of information. So that's really what makes it demanding. Not conceptual difficulty, just a deluge of information. The second problem, though, is nowadays, very few students have enough time to properly process that information. You know, none of you is old enough to remember the days when it was the job of a student entering college to be a student. You know, that's all college students had to do. They didn't have to work. Well, some of them did, of course. They didn't have to raise kids, whatever. They were there for school, and they could devote their full time to it. The course requirements haven't changed. Society has. So now, students have jobs, they have spouses, they have children. All of those things are important, of course. All of those things require a bunch of time. But that simply means that, I mean, it doesn't mean that colleges make courses easier so that students who are busy will still be able to get that A. In other words, it's harder to be a college student nowadays. We don't make the courses easier, and it's impossible to make the days longer. So if you're trying to squeeze 27 hours into each day, it is not going to work. And I understand that those other things in your life might be more important than school, but it's just a mathematical reality that there's only so much time, and if you have multiple things to do, you don't have enough time, at least one of those things is going to suffer. That's the reason, primarily, that so many people end up withdrawing from the course, because they can't withdraw from their job and so forth. All right? So I said that I didn't want that to be discouraging. That is a reality. But I want you to know that right now, because the worst thing you can do is worry about this once it gets out of hand. You don't want to get close to being behind in this course, because the easiest part of this course is right now, early on. It will get harder and harder, and the scores will get lower and lower until about the middle of the term. And by then, there will be already a lot more open spaces in here, probably. Hopefully not. Maybe you guys will be the exception. So far, there has never been an exception. But my point is, do what is necessary in your life. If it just comes down to budgeting time better, whatever, just realize that you need to devote a lot of time to this course to get through it. Now, as far as the information or the material in the course, it should be enjoyable. And I say that because it's a biology major's course. You are all in one way or another a biology major, or on track to be a biology major of some sort. If you hate biology, then you shouldn't be in this course. You shouldn't be in this major. Don't make the mistake. You know, there's a lot of reasons to go to college. One big reason is to figure out what the hell you like in life so that you could do something that makes you happy. If biology is not it, if all of this information is just a drag, then you should consider a different field for yourself. Be happy in life. That's important. But assuming that you all do like biology, the material is good. It's just there's a lot of it, like I said. Now, this is the beginning of a two-term course. Not everyone takes both, but a lot do. It's the 181 and 182. They are both basic courses, which means they form the basis of biology. So those two are the most important courses, in a sense. And the material that you learn in 181, and if you go on to 182, in there as well, you will learn that stuff over and over in other biology courses, which is a good thing, because if you do make it through the course, or any course for that matter, sadly, you forget most of what you learn, even if you get an A on that final. That's just the way humans are. But that's why you're taught the important stuff over and over and with greater and greater detail as you go through your collegiate career, taking higher level biology courses. This is where it starts, though. Bio 181 and 182 are equal in their basicness, but I don't want you to confuse the word basic with easy. Basic does not mean easy. Basic just means it's fundamental. It's forming the fundamental background for a discipline. All right, now the big difference between 181 and 182 is scope. Biology is a huge science. In 181, we are going to remain more or less inside the cell. We're studying what happens in the cell. Now, I teach a different course at a higher level called cell biology, which really is 181 again. You just, if you take cell biology ever, it's really the same thing again. Just taught, because all this stuff is so important. You teach it again to majors. a little bit more detail in cell bio. But anyway, that's 181 is cell biology. It's biology at the cellular level. Now, cells are invisibly small. What happens inside cells is chemistry. And that's what life is, chemistry. What happens inside of cells, metabolism, is life. And so this course is going to seem as much like a chemistry course as it is a biology course because of the level at which we're studying biology. If you do go on to 182, then it's all the rest of biology, everything out above the level of the cell. All right. There's a little bit of overlap in this course that I get into here, but it's mostly a cell biology course. Now, you should feel free, by the way, to stop me at any time, not just in this introductory lecture, but anytime I'm talking, just stop me if you need to. Just yell and don't be afraid to, is what I'm saying. So that's what we're studying. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the websites involved in this course. Has anyone never been to this one? You've all been here? Okay, good. Oh, see, the only reason I ask is I'm kind of curious as to who's going to be willing to admit they've never been here. There's no crime if you've never been here. But this should be the last day that you've never been here. And I see already that many of you have been here and have been doing things preliminarily. That's good. Let me give you your first bit of homework. Before midnight tonight, I want you to go to this site, and actually all this site, well, two of the three sites I'm about to talk about, and just look at it. Click on all the links in the main menu to see what's there. Some of it might be more helpful than others. It depends on you as the student. But before you get really busy, I want you to do this. So it's not a suggestion. This is a requirement by tonight. Click on everything, get acquainted, and then remember what's there and where things are so that you don't have to waste precious time later figuring out where things are. But this is just one of three websites associated with the course. Now, you're used to probably using Canvas for any given course. So Canvas is one of the three websites. Canvas sucks for a lot of reasons. But I have to use Canvas for certain things, for FERPA compliance. It would be illegal for me to do some of the things on an open website. So, for instance, I have to use Canvas so that you can get your grades privately. And that's where you'll be. That's one of the main reasons for using Canvas. Have you already been to this Canvas site? Okay, and you notice that Canvas points immediately to this site, right? So you can always get to this second site through there, but you should not do that, because if Canvas goes down, you won't be able to get to this one if you haven't remembered to bookmark it. Anyway, Canvas is used for grades. You'll also be submitting a couple things through Canvas, not everything, since this is a face-to-face course. But Canvas is Canvas that you're already familiar with. This is the Hoffman site, my own website that is nice and simple. It should be quick to load, easy to navigate, and make sure you bookmark this because this is where a lot of the material is. This is where the announcements are, but this is also where lecture recordings are. Now, I record every time that I'm addressing the course, including right now, so that you can play that back at home. But there's also current term lectures is where you'll see the lectures eventually, that like the one I'm making today. That those will be here. But there's also an online lectures and slideshows page that you've hopefully already looked at. It's an archive. So this is previous term that I used to make these recordings. But even though this is a previous term, this is probably the most important page of material in the Hoffman site, which is also one of the reasons why this course is such a time demand. Being here is just a small fraction of the time that you have to spend to do well in this course. I'm sure that other instructors have told you that. It should be true of any course. It's not enough to just attend. You have to do a lot of work outside. Well, a lot of the work that you have to do in this course outside of class time is to watch these synchronized slideshows, because they are the major source of information. Actually, they are the primary source of information for the hardest things and the most point-worthy things in this course, which are the lecture examinations. All right, the lecture examinations are going to be the hardest part of the course, but they affect your grade more than anything else. They're weighted the heaviest. 100% of the material for my lecture exams comes from what I tell you in class and on these synchronized slideshows. All right, so those are the things that you need to study. Sitting through the live performance takes 75 minutes a day. That's not enough to do well on the exams. So you need to do repeated listenings. Well, even one at-home listening of a lecture should take longer than 75 minutes, because to do it effectively, you should be refining any notes that you took during the live performance. There's only so much you can get down while I'm speaking live. That's what the recordings are for. So you can listen to it again, get familiar with it again, but also make more detailed notes based on those recordings, which, if you're doing it correctly, should mean pausing me now and then in the recording so that you can make those detailed notes. That's going to take even longer than being here to begin with, right? And to really learn it well, you might have to do it more than that. And that's only part of the work. So that really is why it takes so much time to do well in this course. But there's no way around it. Unless you are truly, truly exceptional. And I don't mean an A student. It's typical for someone who's never gotten anything but an A in here to struggle. Some A students. Because if you haven't learned this already, it is true that not all A's are equal. Some courses are easy to get an A in. Some are difficult to get an A in. For some of you sitting here today, maybe it will be harder to get a C in this course than it has been to get an A in another course. It doesn't seem fair, but it doesn't have to be. It's just the reality. Okay, so does that seem discouraging? I don't know how to say it in a way that it isn't discouraging. I just want you to know what you're in for. Anyway, these recordings are not optional. You don't get any points for them. I'm not going to come to your house and make sure that you're watching these. It'll be obvious if you don't watch them when you submit your tests, when you do your tests in here. Well, the third website is Canvas. And thankfully, you don't have to purchase access to that. Has anyone already registered for Canvas? I haven't even checked. It's usually pretty seamless. You had no problem getting in? Okay, cool. All three of these websites you can get through the one, but like I said, bookmark the Hoffman site. Anyway, the Canvas site is a publisher site. It does have an e-text if you like textbooks. I don't demand that you use a textbook for anything. I've had plenty of people get A's without ever cracking a textbook. And certainly, the e-text is not the way to study for my lecture exams, as I just told you. The synchronized slideshows are what I tell you. Even though that information will also be in the book is not the way to study for my tests. But there is one thing that is especially well-suited to the e-text, which is the batch of Connect homework that you're assigned already, that you can only do through the Connect website. Well, that's publisher. Those are publisher-generated questions that go hand-in-hand with that e-text. This is all open book. So the best thing to use the e-text for is to make sure you're getting the right answers on the Connect homework before you submit it. All right, now if you absolutely know that you're right on an answer, you don't have to check, I guess. But if you're uncertain at all, then make sure you use the e-text to look. I mean, you can get hints on those questions that'll take you right to the place in the e-text where the answers are to make sure. All of that takes a little bit extra time, but it's worth it. Because I'm about to talk about the batches of assignment types. There are comparatively easy points in this course, and there are comparatively hard points. Well, you don't want to waste a single point. You should try to get 100% on anything that is relatively feasible to get 100% on, which includes open book Connect work, okay? As long as you put in enough time. Don't expect to go in there 10 minutes before the midnight deadline and be able to get 100% on something. If you're doing that, you're probably going to be disappointed. But let's quickly go through the syllabus. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, and you don't have to print it out, but you do need to read it, which is why I'm not going to read it to you. But I'm going to skip to the things that most people care about mostly on the first day. I talked a little bit about the websites already. Notice the glaring red font on rules consent form. That's on the Hoffman site. If you do what I've already told you to do, which is to click on every link tonight, you'll do that automatically. But you're not going to get any grades until you do that. Scoring is what most people care about on the first day. And so here's our batches of points in rows here. But notice I have two columns here, with attendance and without attendance. So I score you two different ways for this course, or the spreadsheet I have set up does, with attendance and without attendance. Now, attendance, by the way, is punctual attendance. It's more than just being here. You have to be here before I start talking, which, you know, I'll start lecture exactly at 10 o'clock every time. And if you come in at 10 and 1 second, that's no attendance points for that day. It seems like I'm being a prick about that, but there has to be a line somewhere, and I'm being just as fair as possible here. Because attendance, I mean, points for attendance is kind of a controversial thing. Right? If I give you points for attendance, I'm rewarding you for doing something that you're already required to do for free. Right? When you sign up for the course, you're really signing a contract saying, I will be here on Mondays and Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, whether you give me points or not. And also, scholastically speaking, being here does not in any way indicate to me that you know anything about biology. Right? Attendance does not demonstrate biological knowledge. So why should I give you points in a biology course simply for being here? Well, I'm willing to simply because I think it is important to be here for the live performance so you can ask questions, you can see other people ask questions, you can hear my answers to them. Yes, you can more or less recreate being here at home since I record everything. You already have the slideshows on the Hoffman site. You'll have the recordings after they're made on that day. And so, yes, you could recreate the experience of being here. But it's not as valuable. So I'm willing to give you some attendance points. On the other hand, I don't want those. There's a counter argument. You could say, well, I'm such a good student that I can probably do this at home since you're recording stuff. I can learn well from home. Why should I bother to be here? And, you know, that's actually a good point. If a student can do that and can come in on test days and still deliver and get that A, why should I dock that person any credit in that case? So that's why I do it both ways, with attendance and without. And you don't have to worry about which is which, because whatever you see as your total current score is going to be the higher of the two ways of calculating. All right, so I'll give you the higher one. But the difference is that if you do include attendance, that's a batch of points by itself, it's not extra points, it just means it's stealing some points from the other categories, meaning that all the other non-attendance categories of things that you do for points become a little less valuable, which means they won't affect your total grade as much if you include attendance. If you don't include attendance, everything becomes more valuable and your grade will go up or down more because of them. You understand what I'm saying mathematically? Okay, well, let's look at the weighting of things. I already talked about the lecture exams. There's five of them. And they are pretty much identically formatted. All five of them are entirely multiple choice. They are all 50 questions exactly. And so in that respect, they're all the same. Also, lecture exam 5 is the final, but it's not a comprehensive final. It's just the fifth exam. It's all the material after lecture exam 4, in other words. It's no different. You just take it in finals week. So those are the meatiest things as far as points are concerned. They will really affect your score a lot. And they add up to 45% of your grade, the final grade at the end, which is your A, B, C, or D, whatever. That's not, 45% is almost half. Obviously, that's not something you can blow off. 47.4% without attendance. Anyway, many of the rest of the stuff is lab related. There's a laboratory section. We meet Wednesdays for lab, right? So I'm going to talk more about those when we get to the lab on Wednesday. Just notice that they're not worth as much as the exams, but any individual category is by itself still a big chunk of your grade. None of this can be blown off. The punctual attendance that I was talking about is something that you should strive to get 100% on, because it is by far the easiest thing to do. Just be here. Now, I'm going to pass around this sign-in sheet, which just means print your name legibly today. But this is the only time that this will be available after 10 o'clock and 0 seconds. And it's also the only time it'll be passed around. So this will eventually get ingrained into your brain, but probably next time many of you will forget this. So train yourself from now on to come in and not sit down. Come in and immediately come up. I'll have it here. Leave it here. Sign in and then go sit down. Because if you sit down and then I start talking and it's 10:05 and you realize you haven't signed in, you're not going to be able to say, "But you saw me, I was here." Well, to get those points, you have to put your name on the paper before 10. Don't let that happen. I don't like to see it happen, but it happens. Anyway, the grade scale is a straight scale in a sense, meaning the spacing is like a normal 90, 80, 70, but I've dropped the floors on all these grades. So you don't have to get a 90 to get an A, you have to get an 86. But don't jump for joy on that. Getting the 86 in here will be really difficult for most of you. like I said, it might be a lot more difficult than getting getting a 90 in another typical course that uses 90, 80, 70. 66 is not your goal. Your goal should be 100%. But 66 is the important number because making it through the course is so difficult, like I said. Well, why do I drop these floors compared to other instructors? I don't know of any other biology instructor teaching this course that uses this. It's usually 90, 80, 70. But I do know that I give a little bit more information than most instructors. I think my exams are a little harder. So I drop the floor so that in the end I give the same amount of A's, B's, and C's as every other instructor does. Just makes up for it a little bit. Just don't think that multiple choice tests are easy. Don't think that 66 is easy. Anyway, those are the official grading lines. And then the rest of this, like I said, I want you to read, but what am I forgetting? What do you care about right now? Any questions? Yeah.
Makeup
tests? So you're already not going to be here on a test?
Oh, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Now, you don't want to miss a test, but it's not a zero. You'll get a blank if you miss the exam day. What it does, though, is make you ineligible to take the multiple choice version. So I can allow you to do a makeup exam, but it will be entirely short answer, no multiple choice at all. Now, if you know the material, there's no difference. If you know the material, you should be able to do well on either kind of exam. But a lot of students freak out about the notion of something they can't have any choices to pick from, where they has to just come straight from the brain. And so if you are one of those students who would freak out at that notion, then do what you have to not to miss the exams. And this brings up the good point that you should look at the schedule of lectures, the schedule of when things are due, which is on the last pages of this syllabus. You should do that early on. Especially the test, though. Make sure, you know, look to see whether there is anything in your life scheduled already that will conflict with the test day. Tell me about it early on, a bit well before the test, so that there might be a solution to that. But if you just forget to show up, yeah, that's... It's not the end of the world, but it's the end of that version of the test. Anything else? Nothing? Yeah.
You said that just putting a citation in quotation wasn't good enough because it was not formal or cited, or was just not
good. Well, what I mean by that is there's a lot of students, in my experience, who think that quotation and citation are the same thing, and they're not at all the same thing. Citation is giving credit for something that you've learned, which you should always do if you're using some information that you've learned elsewhere. Quotation is using the exact words of someone. And quotation is plagiarism if there is no quotation marks, even if you have a citation. Because if you don't use quotation marks, you're telling the reader, I wrote this, which is a lie if it's actually quoting. So the only way you're ever allowed to use quotation is with quotation marks. You still then would have to give a citation to say where you got that from. But this is rarely done in science, actually. There's different kinds of writing. Scientific writing rarely uses quotation. This isn't a writing-intensive course, but this is what I mean by this. You should be writing everything. You have to be writing everything in your own words. But even when you write things in your own words, you should be using citation, just not quotation. Is that what you wanted, or did you have some other question about this? Okay. Anyone else? Well, I forgot to cue up my
lecture, so that's... Let me do that. Oh, wait a minute, I was there.